to another exciting Thought Police podcast with me and Kevin O'Sullivan. This one, of course, like many, is brought to you by the good guys at manscaped.com. Manscaped, very famous, of course, for keeping you in trim in all sorts of different ways. They can trim your ears, they can trim your eyebrows, they can trim bits of you that we can't mention, but let's say it, they can trim your balls. You can trim any number of bits of yourself that have got too much hair grown out of them. But what they now do, Kevin knows all about this, is that they also do beards, right? Now, nobody likes a weird beard. So what you can do now is get yourself sorted with Manscaped, because they now sell massive beard products, right? You can get the Beard Hedger Pro Kit, and now they're going to go a step further with a brand new Handyman, which is an electric face shaver for a quick and convenient way for you to achieve a clean-shaven look. So if you want to get rid of the beard, this is working for you. And if you want to take the Beard Hedger, it's a high-tech piece of art in a travel-size package. It's got a long-lasting battery. It's got universal charging, and it also will give you the feeling that you're totally in control of whatever it is that's growing on your face. And you know that cleaning a beard and making yourself clean shaven is not that easy. But basically, this thing, this Beard Hedger, is the juggernaut of fixing faces. It gives you 20 different hair cutting lengths, all with one guard. No more messy drawers. And face grooming can be so much easier. So here's what you do. As usual, you get 20% off because you are, of course, a valued customer of Manscaped.com because you're a Thought Police listener. You get free shipping. And all you do is insert the code POLICE at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped.com. You know what to do. You know that Manscaped are good. We've sent you their stuff before. This is for those people who actually do want to get a bit hairy for a while without being leery. This is the Thought Police. Enjoy the rest of the podcast.
So, Mike, yeah. Mick Jagger's 80.
Is he?
Who gives a fuck?
Fucking hell.
Old fucker.
He is old.
Piss off.
He's still having kids, though.
Yeah, hundreds of kids. Yeah, most of his kids are his girlfriends. I think they're about like 12.
Well, he's got kids who are older than his girlfriend for sure. He's also got he's also got kids who are old enough to be, I think, his girlfriend's grandfather. I think he's actually, you know, got kids that old.
Well, his oldest daughter Jade is now 78. So
yeah, well,
so he must have had her when he was two.
Jade young. Probably is about 60, right?
She's fucking old. Yeah, yeah, I think she is about
she
60.
Must be.
Yeah, and then she got nicked, didn't she, recently in Ibiza?
Did she?
Yeah, she went out for a meal with her boyfriend. Right, yeah. And her boyfriend had a fucking great punch up, and the cops arrested her, and she waded in.
They it both, sounded like she was.
They both ended up under arrest. I don't know what happened.
It sounded like she was a bit the worst for wear.
Well, I think he was, definitely, because you can get all sorts of accoutrements in Ibiza.
Can you? I'll take your word for it. I've never been there.
Oh, God, don't go there. It's fucking horrible. There's a place.
I don't fancy Ibiza.
The capital, I think, is called San Antonio, isn't it? So if you go there, right, it's like you see those rocks with seals all over them and fucking walruses and things. That's what San Antonio's like, only with little wankers off their tits on coke and E. Yeah. You know, all like lying around, absolutely fucking blitzed.
Getting sunburned.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible. If you're over the age of 12, you really don't want to be in San Antonio.
No.
I arrived there by powerboat.
I prefer Mallorca, I think, you know, which is a lot more my speed.
I arrived there by powerboat from nearby, what's that island called? Formentera.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We spent the day there. It was very, very traumatic. And then we ended up in some fucking beach park called, it was during a World Cup a few years ago. And I was on a stag night, or stag weekend. You know, not my kind of thing, but I went because the stag was a good friend. And one of the people amid our party, was a fucking billionaire, so he fucking hired this powerboat, and we'd get from Formentera over to Ibiza, and charged in there at great speed. And then when we got there, there's all these sort of kind of fucked up kids offering us coke and things like that. Like, fuck off, will you?
You know loads of rich people, don't you?
I do know quite a few rich people. Mm. I've always latched onto them.
You were telling me that you were...
I never get anything out of them.
Where did you go recently and you said it was really nice part of... I thought it was a bit of a shithole. And you went, no, but there's a nice part of it. Because the bloke I know has got loads of money. and a big fucking house. Hang on, okay,
we'll have to come back to that. Right. I'll remember it in a minute.
Okay.
But, you know, rich people are always well worth knowing. They throw good parties.
I suppose so, yeah.
So what I want to talk about, I saw this story, right? Do you remember the famous Led Zeppelin album? And it's got like a crop circle thing, and then the silhouette of a shadow of a Zeppelin airship above it. And I think the album's called Remastered, Led Zeppelin.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I haven't got that.
1990, something like that.
I bought their original albums. I remember when I was at secondary school, yeah. I bought my first Led Zeppelin album, 1972.
Okay.
I was very cool because everybody in those days was listening to Gary Glitter, Alvin fucking Stardust, and
that's not very cool.
The fucking Carpenters and all that shit, right? So I was
going, like Alvin Stardust?
Not really. What's behind the green door? Nobody fucking gives a shit, fucking Welsh
cunt. Fuck off, Alvin, you cunt.
Anyway, so I bought Led Zeppelin 1, as it was known. Yeah. I used to walk around with it under my arm at school because I thought
proudly.
It was the fucking coolest thing. Then I bought Led Zeppelin 2 with a whole lot of love on it and then went, you never fucking guessed they used this for Top of the Pops. And everyone went, yeah, we know. And then Led Zeppelin 3, and then 4, of course, was the Symbols with Stairway to Heaven on it.
Yeah.
And then there was Physical Graffiti. I think I bought that as the first double album. In Through the Outdoor was later.
Yeah.
And In Through the Outdoor came out just before they did their last ever show, I think, I'm right in saying, which Pooch and I were both at, not together, at Nebworth.
You weren't together then?
We weren't together then, but we are now, ish.
Yeah.
But not in that way. But it was an amazing concert, still one of the greatest concerts I've ever seen. Jimmy Page coming out under a pyramid of laser light,
what a wanker.
Pointing a bow, which he was playing his guitar with, into the fucking audience. It was fucking epic. I've never seen anything like it before or since. And when they did Kashmir, it was absolutely fucking mind-blowing, wasn't it?
You mentioned Todd Rundgren.
And, of course, Todd Rundgren, who you might or might not have
heard of. I know Todd Rundgren. American, of course, you're kidding.
Who my ex-wife used to absolutely love.
I've seen him perform.
She used to live in Connecticut. She used to go to this place in New Haven called Toad's Place. Where she saw Todd Rundgren play and the New Haven
not
Coliseum.
Todd's Place.
Not Todd's Place, no, Toad's Place, which was quite a famous sort of student-y hangout in New Haven. And New Haven, of course, was famously where Jim Morrison got arrested when he was playing for the Doors because he was supposedly arrested for lewd
trying
conduct.
To get on a Channel Ferry across the France.
I think he got his dick out. Or he took his leather trousers off.
That's a shit old New Haven, isn't it?
New Haven, well,
fucking horrible
people
place.
Go, oh, New Haven's where the
it's horrible.
It's the world headquarters of Yale University, and that's right. The bit where Yale is lovely, but the rest of it, they had fucking race riots in the 70s and 60s.
Connecticut,
horrible.
Right?
Connecticut,
the worst town in Connecticut.
It really, it's not. It's, when you think of Connecticut and those little nice, you know, white picket fences and. You know, lovely little town, town sort of.
Yeah. Connecticut's mostly nice.
It is. New Haven isn't.
New Haven, not so much. So yeah, that was what it was. Was that the crop circle that Led Zeppelin used? It was a real crop circle.
Right.
It is said to be the most elaborate of all time. I think it was in Bedfordshire or something like that.
No, they were all in Pewsey in Wiltshire.
Well, they were all over the fucking shop.
Yeah. No, the headquarters of the crop circle business.
Well, I don't know where this one was. But anyway, they took a picture of it and then they superimposed the Zeppelin.
Yeah, I think I remember
And they
that
did
now.
Remastered. So what's happened is someone has recreated that crop circle. And Led Zeppelin have been accused of doing it themselves in order to promote sales of Remastered, which has been re-released.
Right. Oh, they recreated it?
But they said that's bollocks. It's not true. And anyway, there was a long-winded way of me saying, and interesting to hear your stories of seeing Led Zeppelin. I fucking hated Led Zeppelin. I fucking hate them.
Yeah, but that's because you're a punk,
I really can't.
But that's because you're a punk,
I don't fucking get it. No, in those days, that was before punk. I mean, in those days.
No, 79 was right in the middle of it,
right? Yeah, but the Led Zeppelin date back before that.
No, I know that, but what I'm saying is that it was sort of, you know, traditional for punks to hate heavy rock, as it was then called.
Yeah, but I hated them way before punks. Well, in the sort of mid-70s, I would have been into sort of Steely Dan, quite a lot of West Coast stuff.
Well, that's proper shite.
I was big on Velvet Underground, still my favourite band of all time. And then we went into the punk. Punk music, I liked it because it was great to go to the concerts. The songs were always short. And actually, a lot of punk bands did great tunes. Great lyrics.
There was a lot of energy.
Yeah, a lot of energy. They were great fun. So, I wasn't like kind of a punk through and through. I just liked the kind
of dress as a
syndrome.
Punk, did you?
But I'd been into music before that. So I was into like West Coast music. I was into sort of Steely Dan, things like that. And of course,
Steely Dan are a great band.
Velvet.
But the problem was at that point, music was driving itself into a fucking cul-de-sac of mellow, really boring shite. That only really appealed to people on the west coast of America.
Well,
Steely Dan,
of course.
Fucking Eagles, man. Yeah. You know that great line in The Big Lebowski?
Yeah.
Where he gets in the cab and the guy's playing fucking peaceful, easy feeling. Yeah. And he's going, not the fucking Eagles, man. And he kicks him out of the cab, fucking leaves him there.
Steely Dan, man. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge, I don't understand. Yeah, reading in the year.
My favourite song of theirs was Hey 19.
Yeah, and the show business kids making movies of themselves, and they don't give a fuck about anyone else. Steely Dan were a great band.
What about Hey 19? Can you do the lyrics from that?
No.
Or are you just going to pretend you know all their lyrics?
No, I can't. I know loads of lyrics, but I don't know that one.
Hey 19 is where they say...
Well, no, I know the song.
The Cuervo Gold, the fine Colombian,
good stuff,
makes tonight a wonderful thing.
There you go. There
so
you
we
go.
Can all do
there
it.
There you go. But I fucking hated Led Zeppelin. I hated all that sort of heavy metal
stuff. But you
stuff.
Have this kind of unnatural, sort of completely illogical hatred of things anyway.
Yeah, I do. I do.
And you probably just hate Led Zeppelin. I'll
tell you why.
Like
I suppose in retrospect, musically, I'm sure Led Zeppelin were a good band. I just couldn't stand it. But it just wasn't my kind of thing anyway. I don't like that kind of music. I like clean music with lyrics and things like that, as opposed to a bunch of fucking hippies with bows.
But actually, it wasn't hippies with bows, because it was blues, actually. If you listen to early Led Zeppelin, and they do there's an amazing fucking album, which is all about their BBC recordings that they did live in Shepherd's Bush, I think.
Yeah.
What is now like Television Centre, where they do Good Morning Britain. And that basically was them playing proper blues. And that was... Yeah, it was a bit like what came from people like Long John Baldry and Jeff Beck and all those kind of guys actually playing proper blues guitar. Do you know who I fucking hated? Illogical. No, Rush.
Oh, fucking hell. That's not illogical.
Those wankers. songs that went on forever. And they were shit.
Yeah, but
they were fucking Canadians.
But that's
Canadians
what I think
well.
About Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, yeah, but you can't
sort
put
of
them in
semi-operatic
the same.
No. Bullshit.
No, but they didn't do that, though. You're getting it wrong. You mustn't put them in the same category. Rush was seriously bad.
Yeah.
And, I had a couple of Yes albums, right? From the early 70s.
Going
as well.
For the one.
Going for the one, there was Long Distance Runaround was the song.
I quite liked
they
Yes
had,
to an extent.
But they had.
Well, they got a bit odd at
times. Well, everybody loved their sort of album a cover art, didn't they? Who was that guy that used to do it? I can't remember his name. Was it Roger Moorcraft?
You mean the cover mate?
The cover guy.
Yeah.
John Anderson was the singer.
He was a singer.
Chris Squires was in the band. I mean, you remember all this shit. I don't even know why. I can't remember what I did yesterday. Yeah. But I can remember the fucking names of Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Say No to Yes.
And they put fucking... You put the album on and it was one song. For the whole fucking side.
Genesis
like
used to be like
15 and a half
that.
Minutes.
Yeah. Who wants a 20-minute
song? That's the other thing. And people go on about, Peter Gabriel, he was amazing. You know, I actually preferred Genesis after he left. Because before that, they were right up their own arse.
Some of their albums.
The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway.
Yeah,
know.
Well, they were... Fucking Genesis were a typical English public school band. And I thought Led Zeppelin far too middle class for my taste.
Yeah, but they weren't really.
Taste.
I mean, don't forget, John Bonham... Choked on fucking...
Drank himself to death. Epic drinking session.
You know, Jimmy Page, one of the heaviest fucking drug takers in the history of drugs. You know, Robert Plant probably one of the greatest shaggers that ever lived. Right, and an incredible
best
voice.
Best voice? He sounded like he had a fucking poker up his ass.
No, absolutely not. And John Paul Jones, the one that you wouldn't recognise if you sat next to him on a bus, you know?
Fucking hated it. I'll tell you a story about
it. What about Deep Purple?
Oh, God, fuck
off. I used to love them. I saw them, one of the first bands I ever saw, Deep Purple, with Richie Blackmore still in the fucking band.
We've got to move on.
At Wembley. You fucking
started it. Your taste in music is just disgusting.
No, it's not disgusting. This is my absolute fucking...
I quite like Floyd.
I saw Roger Waters...
I was a Motown man.
I saw Roger Waters at Madison Square Garden, which was slightly tempered by the fact that there was a bloke in front of me smoking crack, which smells disgusting.
Well, he wouldn't give you any.
No. But also, I knew the guy... The reason I was there was I had a mate who was his manager at the time, who had previously been manager of the Rolling Stones, and we got to know him in New York. And he said, why don't you come down? He said, I'll introduce you to Roger and everything. And I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. Anyway, so we went backstage afterwards. And it was the usual thing. I'm standing in this corridor with my now ex-wife, who was, I can't remember if we were married or not. And Pete Rudge was the guy's name. And he had been the road manager of the Rolling Stones for years and years and years. Yeah. Done by the IRS, the tax people in America, for $1 million, right? Because they just didn't pay any tax for all these tours that they did. And he was a bit short of the cash, and he went to Jagger and said, you know, any chance you could help me out? And he went, no. Didn't give him a fucking penny. And so Rudge wasn't able to write a fucking check for about 4 years without getting it okayed by the IRS. So he couldn't go into a supermarket and write a check. And it was in the days before contactless cards and all like that. Anyway, we go backstage, right, standing there. Roger Waters comes running off stage. And Pete Rudge goes, Roger, why don't you meet a friend of mine? He went, yeah, hi. And just kept running.
Well, he did meet him then. He's a fucking anti-Semite.
Well, apparently so. But, you know, these things that we've done in our lives, you've met plenty of these, you know, celebrities and fucking rock stars and all that. It's always a fucking disappointment because you go, hi.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
Yeah, you know. Never meet your heroes. They'll always let you down.
Well, he wasn't a hero of mine, but I'll tell you what he did.
Also, never meet the people
But he did do The Great Gig in the Sky, one of my favourite songs from Dark Side of the Moon. And he brought the woman on from the album who sang it. I can't remember her name.
She's a good singer,
Yeah, she fucking sang it live.
She's amazing.
Madison Square Garden. Yeah. My God, that was great.
Yeah, I liked Floyd. I'll tell you a story about the Eagles, right? So,
not the fucking Eagles,
the fucking Eagles. No. This was many years later.
I watched it the other night with Emma. She loves it.
Many years later. I have to go to the fucking States, right? I was on the Mirror, and they said, oh, you can go on this tour of America. And we had to go
with a band?
No, it was the, what's that, the stadium company, AEG or something? Yeah. So the bloke who owns the AEG is this sort of billionaire American. So he was trying to buy the O2 arena. He wanted to turn it into a super casino.
The one in London?
Super casino. So he wanted to get some good press. So they gathered around a few shows. So they said to me, would you like to go on this? And I said, yeah, sounds fucking good. So we flew to the States, and this bloke, whose name I forgot, the boss of AEG, his private personal Gulfstream jet was waiting for us.
So he's American.
We flew all around the States going to his various stadiums. Including we went to Las Vegas, where we went to see Elton John at the Caesars Palace.
I bet you got really blasé about
it. It's pretty fun.
Going back on another fucking jet.
It's pretty cool because I was with all these other journalists, and we went to see, because we were the VIP, so we had, part of our deal was Elton was going to meet us for a drink for the show. So we walked in, and Elton goes, oh, hello, Kevin. I go, hey, Elton, how's it going? And he gave me a great story about Kate Moss.
Well, they must have been
taking
quite impressed.
Coke. Yeah,
they must have been quite impressed.
And they said you can't write anything. I filed it the next day. It was all over the front page of the Mirror. Anyway, so we go to LA, where he owns the. It's called the Staples Center. It's the big.
That's where they play the basketball, isn't
exactly
it?
Exactly right. Yeah, yeah. And they have concerts there. So we're going to see the Eagles, and so we're
Not
in this
the fucking Eagles.
We're in this amazing box. We're in, yeah, not the fucking Eagles.
Just
not
say it.
Is it? It's just Eagles.
Yeah, Eagles. Yeah. So we're in this box. And
was this before the hell freezes over?
Yeah. Well, it was. It was actually after the hell freezes over tour. So the manager or their businessman or someone, I can't remember his name, he's a famous guy.
Right.
So I was having a drink with him in the box and talking. I said, so this hell freezes over tour, I mean, you know, they said they'd never tour again because they fucking hate each other.
Right.
But they did because of the money, right? He said, yeah, right. I said, no, they are upstage, so they've obviously got over their differences. He goes, oh, no. They still fucking hate each other. No. So I go, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I'll tell you what. When the show's over, I'll take you down backstage. I'll show you what happens.
Oh, this is where they all get different cars.
So he takes me down to the backstage for the last number. They're doing Hotel California or something. And so he takes me down. And standing backstage, the fucking Eagles, they come off the stage, right, five members of the band or whatever, and there are these five limousines waiting for them. And they just literally walk off the back of the stage, back to where the cars are. They all get into these cars and just charge off. Don't even talk to each other. So hell freezes over. But money talks. And I think that, on that bombshell, we should probably call things off right now, right?
That was good. That was interesting.
Was not a bad story.
Yeah.
Patreon.
Oh, yeah, the Patreon.
Yeah.
John O'Brien.
Oh, I got, did we not, we got a message, didn't we, from one of them who said that he's definitely not a woman.
Regan Gillies,
who apparently he's definitely not a woman. So well done, Regan, for not being a woman. And congratulations for having a cock and not wearing a dress. Well done, mate. You know, you're the kind of guy we look up to. Are we going to do the whole lot?
You do it, yeah.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, well, I'll do it if you want.
Well, you can do it. Now, here's the note from Regan. He said, fucking love you, lads. I'm definitely not gender fluid. I'm a man from Mike's native Scotland. And he says,
Mike's native Scotland.
Oh, well, I am
fucking
from Scotland.
Cockney.
North West 3. My fucking parents are both from Scotland.
It doesn't
right?
make you Scottish.
Yeah, of course it
Let's
does.
Let's not go there again.
Let's not go there. It does actually make me Scottish. I'm sorry to tell you.
What
anyway,
about me?
Here we are. Daniel Cunning. I've never seen that name before. Is that a new one? Daniel Cunning.
Yes,
yeah.
No,
I think it might
well,
be
that's,
new.
That's on the top of your list that you sent us. Daniel Cunning, well, as in linguist.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Daniel, check it out. You might want to introduce yourself to Jenny 29. She's getting a bit bored
You could be number 30.
She could have a bit of a break from all the shagging. Luke Morrison, Jason Steele, Leonie Thomas, Robbie Lunnan, Matt Clark, Emma Lou, George Maley, Emil Watters. Drum roll.
Come on, Jenny 29.
Why
don't you fuck Regan while you're at it?
No, what about Daniel Cunning? She should meet him.
Have a go on Daniel Cunning, Jenny.
He's cunning stunts. Dean McCarthy, Martin Gunther, Tom O'Donnell, Gareth Hughes, Daniel Jones, John Priest, Mark Buckley, Dale Pinnock, Joseph French, Kevin
Downer.
We've got Paul Steele, Steely, Maria Cooper, Simon Schiff, Paul Butterworth, and Thomas French. And we should give another mention to Dave Johnson, who's a Thought Police fan, but also the boss of Suitable Choices, independent mortgage brokerage based in sunny Kent. Tagline is straight talking, no bullshit advice.
Yeah.
The web address, suitablechoices.co.uk.
And maybe get Dave up for the little live we're doing.
You know, we should, actually. When we do the live show, which will be hopefully end of August, if all goes well, we'll let you know soon. We'll get Dave Johnson up and grill him. What do you think?
They'll get
Patreon people, if you're watching this, you will get the first chance to get a ticket. And there we are.
That's it. Fuck off the lot of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.